Area Voices tells the arts, culture, and history stories of northern Minnesota. And Eric Haugen is a Bemidji native who began playing cello at the age of 3. He's now completed undergrad studies in cello performance at the University of Michigan and has since been attending Colorado University in Boulder, where he's now received an artist diploma in string quartet studies. And he's in the process of completing his master's in cello performance. He's in Bemidji now and preparing for a concert, a special performance at Headwaters School of Music and Arts, July 12th. And we're lucky to have him in the studio. Good morning, Eric.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. You've been playing cello since you were 3.
Yeah, tiny.
How and why did this happen?
It's kind of a funny story. I actually asked my parents to play the cello when I was 3, which is unusual for a 3-year-old, but I really was just copying my friend. My friend had started playing, and I just thought that was something that I should be doing because he was doing it. And I don't think I knew what a cello was at the time, but I wanted to do that. And they said, what the heck, we'll give it a try. And they're not classical musicians by any means, and they weren't trying to, like, you know, get me started young or anything. It just ended up working out that way.
You were just curious, and they just ran with that.
Yep.
So was your friend older than you or same age?
He was actually a little bit younger than me, but same general age.
Oh my gosh, so it must have been a tiny little cello.
Yeah. Yeah, they make them small.
When did you realize, or maybe it was your parents that realized, that there was a natural gift happening?
I think it was pretty immediate. I think I kind of latched on to learning music and learning how to... I didn't really learn how to read music immediately because I started with the Suzuki method where you just learn by listening to the pieces. But from a very young age, I could just like listen to things and repeat it. And so I think it was almost immediately that they realized that it would be something that I would really love to do and kind of excel at. So,
are the people in your family musical?
Yeah, absolutely. Everybody in my family loves music, but I mean, who doesn't love music, honestly? So, but my dad is a really good drummer, and so he's actually a great harmony singer as well. And so when I was younger, I picked that up from him. And my mom is also musical. She grew up playing the piano and trumpet a little bit.
Okay. So when did you know that you would follow this as a career path?
That I don't actually really know exactly. It was just kind of something that I knew. And I don't know exactly when I knew, but I think before I went to high school, I knew that I wanted to do this professionally. And actually, the cello that I play on currently is one that my parents bought when I was in, I think, 7th grade. So, and it's a fantastic instrument. And so they, at least by that time, they knew that it was something I really wanted to seriously pursue.
So you've been playing this specific cello since you were like 13?
Yes.
Tell us about it.
It's really a unique instrument. It's unique in the way that it looks. It has a very dark... kind of smoky look to it, and it looks a little bit beat up, honestly. It looks, but you know, this cello's been through both the world wars, so it was made in 1902 in France, and so you know, it's got some battle scars, but nothing major, which is incredible for an instrument that old. It doesn't have any really big, like, it wasn't in any car accidents or fires or, you know, something like that, which a lot of cellos of that age.
So it's over 100 years old.
It is, yeah.
Whoa. Well, how do you maintain something like that?
You know, it's funny. It's actually so much better when instruments are being played constantly. That's kind of a natural way of just maintaining them because you're always, that way you know if something is wrong. And also, when cellos just sit on shelves, like at museums, they kind of degrade over time. It actually needs to be resonated and played in order to keep it up. So.
Oh my gosh. You had mentioned that before you got to high school, you kind of just had a internal feeling that this was going to be something that you would pursue. And years ago, I worked at the Arts Council and know that you got a mentorship opportunity to go to a summer experience. I think it was somewhere.
It actually was in Maine, yeah.
Oh, it was Maine, okay. So when you look back at the things that you've done, what are some of those experiences that were really instrumental in your path or on your journey?
Well, that was definitely one of them. The one that you're talking about there is Bowdoin International Music Festival in Brunswick, Maine. And that really opened my eyes for what the classical scene was actually like. You know, you get, I don't know exactly how many people are in that camp, but it's probably close to 500 students and all very seriously pursuing some form of instrument. And so that was really my first experience being kind of diving into that world and meeting all these people that were kind of the same mind as me. And also, you know, getting to work with all these absolutely incredible mentors, like you say, for the mentor grant, you know, teachers, conductors, coaches, all these people that can really, really help you out. And that's something that is not necessarily easy to get when you grow up in a place like Bemidji. You know, you kind of have to seek it out in other places. So,
mm-hmm. Well, we luckily have an orchestra and even a youth orchestra in our town. It's
right.
Kind of, we have a unique situation for a town our size.
I'm very impressed with the fact that, I mean, Bemidji Symphony Orchestra celebrated its 80th season this year, which is just crazy to think about in the town of Bemidji.
Mm-hmm. So, do you have any advice for some young person who is considering pursuing music?
Yeah, I absolutely would say keep an open mind, because you don't necessarily know exactly what little like kind of niche you're going to fall into. Like, there's so many different things that you can do with music, and I don't think that it's easy to kind of look at this path that everyone has to take, but I don't think that's necessarily the best way to do it. I think kind of just go with what you feel and the music that you really love to play, whether it's classical, whether it's popular, whether it's rock or jazz. You know, I think really just follow what you feel, because that's what music is all about. So,
yeah. Do you play every day?
Mostly, yeah.
What's your process like? Do you have a process when you sit down and or a certain time of the day, or do you just tuck it in?
No, it's whenever and wherever I can kind of fit it in, you mm-hmm. know. It's funny, these days I've been trying to avoid practicing in the heat of the day because I feel worn out and I feel like I can't move my fingers. But so the mornings and the evenings, actually, like real late at night, has been when I've been trying to get my practicing in.
Okay, and you're in grad school right now.
Yes.
And you've got string quartet.
So, yeah, I'll talk about that a little bit. I got into this program. At first I started my master's in cello performance at CU. Like, I just went there to study with the teacher and get a master's, and I was a teaching assistant there. And then I met these three other wonderful musicians who I ended up auditioning for this quartet program to study with the Takash Quartet, who has actually been in residence at CU for like 30-something years, which is crazy because, you know, that's such a long time for one quartet to stay at a particular place. So we ended up getting to go to that program, which was an incredible experience. Like, it really was just geared towards rehearsing and performing and not really academics. Like, it really was kind of a simulation of what a professional quartet would do, which was such an amazing experience. And just to work with the Takash Quartet and get coached by them all the time was incredible.
So what's going to happen? What's going to happen next for you?
I got a job playing on a cruise ship, and that's the next thing that I'm doing, which I'm super excited about because I get to go to a bunch of really, really amazing countries that I've never been to. I don't think I've been to any of the countries that I'm going to, with the exception of maybe the UK, but I'm going to Ireland, and I went to London, so that does not count.
Lucky so. Cruise shippers get to watch you play. I've seen you play a few times, mm-hmm. and it's always a feast for. It's just a feast for the senses, and to watch you play, it's almost like the cello is part of your body or something.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
It's so exciting.
I've been doing this such a long time that it kind of feels that way.
Yeah, and for people out there listening who. A lot of people have maybe never heard you play or watched you play, but at times you'll use the cello almost as a percussion instrument while you're mm-hmm. playing, and that's really, it's just so cool. It's just something that I think a lot of people might not expect when they're gearing up to see somebody play the cello, so it's really fun.
Yeah, you know, I've really been diving into non-classical styles on the cello and trying to kind of do my own thing, because there's not a lot of, it's not like you can go to school and get a degree necessarily in that with a really specific teacher. Like, you kind of have to do that stuff on your own and just see what works and see what doesn't. And there's some amazing people in the popular music fields that are doing that kind of stuff, like Rashad Eggleston and Ben Soley, people like that, that are really using the cello in a non-traditional way, and it really works for them. So,
Well, you're going to play a song for us.
Yeah.
I hope.
So I'm going to play something off of my recital, which if you can make it to anybody who's out there, it would be great. I don't charge admission or anything. I ask for a free will donation. But that's not even necessary. Like, I would absolutely love for anybody to show up and watch it. It's July 12th at Headwaters at 7:30. And so I'm going to be playing two Bach suites on that recital, the fifth and the sixth suite, which I think provide a ton of contrast for each other. Like, okay. They're really, one of them is super dark and one of them is super happy and joyful. So I'm going to be playing one of the movements from the fifth suite right now.
Okay, so this is Eric Haugen, and I would encourage you to definitely check out his show July 12th, 7:30, Headwater School of Music and Arts in Bemidji. I took my daughter, I think she was 13 at the time, to see you, Eric, when you played at the BSO last year. And she had never been to the symphony before. And when we left, she said, "That was so cool, Mom." And to have a 13-year-old say that makes you feel pretty cool as a mom. So, cool. Yeah, so check out Eric Haugen, Headwaters Music and Arts, July 12th, 7:30. Here he is.
Thank you.
Haugen, thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, my gosh. So what cruise ship are you going to be on?
This is it's a Holland America line called the Zuiderdam. But the program for the music is through the Lincoln Center. It's called Lincoln Center Stage.
Okay.
And this particular one is it's going kind of in the northern part of the world between the U.S. and Europe. So we make a bunch of stops in Greenland, stop in Iceland, Norway, Amsterdam, Ireland. And then we turn around, go a little bit from Quebec to the East Coast, kind of back and forth. And then for the last like month and a half, we go down to the Caribbean, which is going to be like October and November. So it'll just be perfect.
Wow. Well, have fun.
Thank you.
Yeah. And if you're going on a cruise, consider who will be playing the music on your cruise. Good luck with everything.
Thanks.
Again, that concert, Eric's concert, will be July 12th, 7:30, Headwater School of Music and Arts in downtown Bemidji. Area Voices is made possible by the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and by the people of Minnesota.